44, 1 through 5 and verse 8. We used to have a song called Barbara Ann, and now they made it a song called Bomb, 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 Moran. But that's not what I'm preaching on tonight. I know Jesse hopes I'm preaching on that tonight. But it's what you need tonight, Brother Jesse. I'm going to give you what you need. Maybe not what you want. Amen. My job is not to give you what you want. It's to give you what you need. But we certainly are praying for the prophecy to fall off the parchment and roll down onto the pavement. And if you want to get that message, I preached that, what was it, last Sunday night? I believe it was last Sunday night. You can get it on the website. I encourage you to listen to it right now with everything going on. It'll help you to pray. But I want to talk tonight about something else. You've heard me do a silent sermon. You know how the silent sermon goes. It goes something like this. It's a silent sermon, and it is how to get to give, right? How to get to give. Some people just want to get to get. I like what Brother Morgan said at the missionary conference. He said, we get to give, and we give to get. I'm sorry, we give to get, and then to give some more. Amen? And some people just want to get to get and keep it, and that doesn't work. It just turns to junk. It just turns stale. And you take the Dead Sea, all water runs into it, nothing runs out of it, and it's just dead. No fish in it, it's just dead. And some believers are like that. They just want to get. They don't want to give out, but we get so we can give out to others. And that's what we want to talk about tonight, is how you can get blessings from God. And I'm thinking specifically of revival blessings from God, but blessings from God that you can get them to give them out. And I liked what Brother Morgan said. You can do that. And you know what? Every year at a missionary conference, Faith Promise, I have raised up. I always tithe. Always give that 10% on all of my increase. Everything. Tithe on that. That's the foundation. But then every year I've raised up a little bit more in what I give, either to missions or an offering to the general fund, or both. But every year I've raised it up, and I have found out that you cannot outgive God. That is so true. And tonight, though, we need to learn to get to give. We need to learn to get things from God so that we can give. You see, the Bible says, Jesus said it this way. He said, as the scripture has said, out of your belly there shall flow rivers of living water. And that should be the case, that we should have God flowing through us. But sometimes he's not flowing through our life, because it's dammed up because we're grieving the Holy Spirit, or it's dammed up because we're being selfish and we're not getting to give it out again. And so I'm just saying that's what God wants. It's true of money. It's true of the gospel. It's true of everything that God has given you. He wants you to get things from God so that you can give. And so tonight I want to preach to you on how you can get revival blessings in your life. How you can get things from God that would be revival blessings in your life. And I want to share a scripture in Isaiah 44 to start. If you go to Isaiah 44, and we're going to preach on verses 1 through 5 and verse 8. But I want to just read to you Isaiah 44 and verse number 3 and 4. It says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses." Isaiah 44, 3 and 4. So tonight I want to talk to you about how you can get things from God so you can give out. How you get revival blessings from God, I believe, is in this chapter, Isaiah 44. And I want to say basically four things tonight, four things about how you can get these revival blessings from God. Here's number one. Grasp God's purpose for your life. Grasp God's purpose for your life. Look at Isaiah 44. I'm going to read this expository message. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, "Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen." Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Now this is talking about Jacob, and notice there's two names given to God's people, his chosen people here. One is Jeshurun, and the other is Jacob. Now when you think of Jacob, you think of somebody that was a trickster. He always tried to get ahead, and he tried to do it by his own efforts. Even when he came out of his mother, he grabbed the heel of his twin brother's fraternal twin and tried to pull him and get ahead of him. That was Jacob, and the name Jacob means heel grabber. He was trying to grab and trying to get ahead, to scheme his way to get ahead. But God changed his name to Israel, and Israel means prince that has power with God. That he's not getting ahead by his own conniving, by his own ambition. Sometime in the church, people want to get ahead of each other and all of that. And God says, no, you just leave it to me. You just serve me. I have a purpose for your life. I want you to realize I've chosen you. You are people that I've set my love on. I've set my grace upon your life. And we need to grasp that. You and I need to grasp God's gracious purpose in our life. Grasp God's purpose for your life. And you say, what's God's purpose? Well, I like it in Romans chapter 9. You're a vessel of mercy. If you're a saved person tonight, you know Jesus as your Savior. God chose you to be a vessel of mercy. What that means is he chose you so he can show you off to the universe. He chose you so that he can show off his purpose to bless you, to give you things, to give you blessings. And you don't deserve it. You deserve hell. I deserve hell. I don't deserve the blessing of God. But yet God's purpose is he's set you apart so he can bless you. By the way, that's true of the nation of Israel. God chose the nation of Israel not so they could get ahead by grabbing the heels and pulling ahead by their own scheming. No, he chose them so that they could be an advertisement. Here's a nation that I've chosen to bless. And the second thing is Jeshurun. What's that mean? Jeshurun means the righteous ones. God chose Israel so they could be right with God. God chose Israel so that they could be saved and be right with God and have the righteousness of their Messiah put to their account. And not only that, but they could have God's righteousness in their life by the Holy Spirit working through their life. Now, they're not there right now, but God has chosen them for that purpose, and you are there. If you're a child of God, listen to me, God has a gracious purpose for your life that you can show God off. You can show his goodness off. You can show his grace off. You can show his love for you off, and God's righteousness. You can show people how God wants people to live. And when God saves you, he saves you to make you righteous in God's sight, yes, but to also produce right living in your life according to the Word of God. And so you say, well, Pastor, how can I get things from God? You need to grasp God's purpose in your life, and he's chosen you. And so he says in Isaiah 44, 1 and 2, he says, I will help thee. I've chosen you to show you off and to bless you, and I will help you. Listen, you need to know tonight that God loves to help his people. God loves to bless you. God loves to help you. He's ready to help you. He's ready to hear your prayer. He's not against you. The Bible says, if God be for us, who could be against us? My friend, if you're going to get revival blessings from God, God wants you to grasp that He has chosen you to show you off, to put His grace upon you, to cause you to be right with Him, to cause you to live right before Him, and as an advertisement to others, to help others. And God will help you do that. That you can't do it on your own. Amen. Israel thought they could do it on their own. They thought, well, God chose us, but we got to do it. They became more Jacob than Israel. See, no, God says, you were Jacob, but I changed you to Israel. God wants you to know that He's going to help you. He's going to empower you. And you need to grasp His purpose for your life, that you can get things from God. Revival blessings. You can get revival blessings from God. Listen to me, so that you can help others, so that you can bless others. Now, He doesn't want just a little trickle of blessing going in your life. Some people think it's trickles of living water, just a little bit. No, He wants rivers of living water. Don't be 50-50. You said that the other day. Be 100%. That's the problem with a lot of Christians. They're just 50-50. They don't want to go too far with God. They don't want to go all the way with God. No, that's not God's purpose for your life. He doesn't want to trickle through you. He wants to flow through you. As the scripture has said, out of your belly there shall trickle, no, flow rivers of living water. Let it go. Let it flow. Let it go. Let it flow. You can't take it with you. Stop grasping it to yourself. Let it go. Let it flow. And go to God to get things from God. But then don't be, oh, it's for me. I get the power for myself. I get the blessing for myself. I build myself. No, give it out to others. Give it out to others. Get to give so you can get some more, to give some more. And I'm just talking about God's purpose for your life. And so how can you get all these things from God, these revival blessings? They're great men of God. They had such great blessings. I saw Brother Hiles when his funeral was there. He was just that little body laid out there in the church on that casket. It didn't look like much. It was just there. And yet all night people came and walked by that casket. And all the next day people came. People from the local area, people from all over the nation, they all came. What was it, my friend? That was God flowing through that body. That was God. He was no longer in there, but that was God. I saw it. I beheld it. It's like John said when it was Christ Himself. He said, we've handled Him with our hands. We've heard Him with our ears. We've seen Him with our eyes, and it's still ringing in our ears. We still have Him imprinted. The life, the eternal life. Listen, some of you just get a little taste of it. God said, not just a trickle. He wants to flow through you. Stop grieving Him, quenching His flow through your life. Stop it being stopped up by sin that dams up the flow in your life, that you won't let go of that thing. The Bible says, lay aside that sin that does so easily beset you, and lay aside the weights that slow you down. Things that you think are so important, they're not as important as getting revival from God. They're not as important as the flow of God through your life. That's what we need more than anything else, beloved. And that tonight is the challenge to you, how you can get revival blessings, whether it be a deacon like Jesse, whether it be a youth pastor, whether it be a member of the church, a soul winner. God wants to flow through your life and touch others through your life. And it's no secret what God can do. What He's done for Hiles, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll welcome you. It's no secret what God can do. He's just looking for somebody that wants to get revival blessings from God by, number one, grasping God's gracious purpose in your life. Why God has chosen you. Why God has blessed you. Not so you could be something in yourself. Not so you can do it by yourself. But no, you can be a testimonial for God flowing through your life. It wasn't the acts of the apostles so much. It's the acts of God, the Holy Spirit, through the apostles. That's what he wants to do here in Scranton. That's what we need here in Scranton. We can have it here as well as anywhere else. But listen, you yourself tonight need to determine, I want this for myself. I want this for myself. I want to grasp God's purpose for why did he bless me with grace and save me. And that's number one, grasp God's gracious purpose. But there's a second thing here in Isaiah 44. And I believe I read verse 1 and 2. I'm going to read it again. That was the first one, but I want to read it. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen, thus saith the Lord, that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. That's grasp God's gracious purpose for why you are where you are. Number two, I want you to look at verse 3. He says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Now he says, I'm going to pour it out on you. And I'm going to pour it out on your offspring. I'm going to give you people. Man, I'm going to save people through you, your offspring, and I'm going to pour it out upon you. But there's a second thing. Not only do you need to grasp God's gracious purpose, but in verse 3, what does he say you need in order to get these things from God, these revival blessings from God, and pour them out upon your offspring and upon other people? What do you need, according to verse 3? One of the men have to tell me. Anybody see it there? All right, Brother Matthew, give him the shot.
You got to be thirsty.
You got to get thirsty. You got to get thirsty. See, some of you, that's your problem. You're not thirsty. You're not thirsty. You're not going to get the power of God without being thirsty for it. You're not going to get productivity and people down the aisle and lives changed without being thirsty for it. You're not just going to get it. It's got to be, you got to be thirsty. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that you might consume it on your own lust. You have thirst for things that you want. But he's saying you're fighting one another and pulling one another's hair out and punching one another's eyes. And I think it was my granddaughter down in Florida. I just heard she got her eye punched and it's all bulged out. Kate, beautiful girl, but she's playing soccer. She's a competitive girl. She's got a black eye that's all punched. But God says, no, he says, you got to get thirsty for these revival blessings. You got to be thirsty for God to flow through you. Not be so greedy and hungry and thirsty to satisfy your own selfish lust. And he said, you kill and you not literally kill, but you cut one another down. You try to get ahead. He said, but it's not working. You have not because, listen, you're not asking God. Why aren't you asking God? You're not thirsty to God for revival. You're not thirsty to God for what we need. And God is trying to get our attention to get thirsty. And so he says in the Bible here in verse 3, for I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon dry ground. Do you just want some trickles or do you want some floods? Amen. Didn't Elijah get some floods when he went up there and he was thirsty for it, and he dumped out all the water on the sacrifice and God sent the fire and he dumped out what water was left and he just needed some water from heaven. Amen. That's what revival is. It's overflowing floods of God with grace and blessings and people getting saved and backsliders coming back when the pews are empty and they come out to church and so forth. That's revival, and we need that to happen. And it says in Revelation 22, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You don't even get saved without getting thirsty. When I got saved, I got thirsty to get saved. Because I saw I'm going to be in hell and I'm not going to get a drink of water. And I didn't want to go to hell, and I cried out to God. I said, God, save me. And I didn't know how to be saved. Just because you cry out to God and say, God, save me, that doesn't mean you're saved. No, that just meant I got thirsty. that I realized I wasn't saved. I needed to get saved. I got thirsty for salvation. And so I cried out to God, and then he sent me a soul winner who happened to be my grandmother, Mabel, who my granddaughter's named after her coming here, Mabel McLaughlin. But her name was Mabel Lickman Thompson Porter. And Mabel told me about Jesus, and my faith was in Jesus. But I had to get thirsty for it. And the Bible says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Once you're thirsty, it's free. Once you want it, it's free. It's a gift of God. It's easy. A hard thing is getting people thirsty. Ever been out soul winning? They don't even have a time of day to listen to you. I was out the other day, and I was trying to give the gospel to this guy. He was looking to the right. He was looking to the left. He wouldn't even look at me. I said, "This guy, he's not into it at all." Then I had blood on my finger right away. He got the first aid kit. Man, he was all into treating my finger. There are so many people. They're into physical things. They're into physical healing. They're into everything that has to do with sensual things of this life. But spiritually, they're just dead. And that's a good description. They're a valley of dry bones. But listen to me, God can stir up thirst. But you have to get thirsty. You have to get thirsty for the power of God so that God can stir up that thirst in people's life. Have you ever thirsted for salvation and then received it as a free gift? If you haven't, that's what you need. And if you have, then may God use you to stir up a spiritual desire for other people. You know, we can't live all our week taking in our flesh and feeding our flesh and then expect people to get thirsty when we tell them about Jesus. No, because they can see. It doesn't mean that much to us. Jesus doesn't mean that much to me. I've got everything I need. I turn the light on, it's on. I turn it off, it's off. Everything I need is right there. But listen, you don't turn God on and off like a light bulb. You need to seek him and be hungry and be thirsty for the Lord. And so you need to have revival, and revival is more of God's power to get people so that they give up on their own righteousness and they are thirsty and they get saved by the grace of God and their lives get changed. Don't you ever get hungry and thirsty for that? I've had times in my life I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I go out and preach the word of God and see no effect in anybody's life, no change. I think of Hannah. Remember Hannah? She was so sick and tired of the rival wife that kept throwing up in her face, "I have babies, you don't. I have babies, you don't." But you know what? Penina did that in a bad way. But God can use you to stir people up to get people saved. You know what? The thing we need to do is not go to somebody else and try to get them to do what's right and put a rule on them. No, we need to just demonstrate it to them. We need to say, "God, I want revival blessings in my life that will provoke others to jealousy. I want it for my own life so that when people see it, they'll want it." But so often we try to think we're going to get it by putting rules on everybody else and making them have to get. No, may God stir you up for revival. Tom Williams said when he got revived and got the power of God, he drew a circle around himself and he got with God and he found out everything in his life where he was quenching the Spirit of God, and he confessed it all and he said, "I'm not coming out of that circle till I get revived." And he got right with God and the Holy Spirit filled him. And I tell you what, I could put Tom Williams up with other men at the school and you could see that man had a fresh baptism of the Spirit in his life. He had the filling of the Holy Ghost in his life. Boy, tonight, that's what some of you need. You need revival in your own life. You need to thirst for it and to hunger for it. And to I've had different times when I've just determined I'm going to break out of barrenness. I'm sick of being barren. I'm sick of having nobody born again and serving God. And I want to have that. Sometimes I go out on bus ministry. It's just as dry and dead and sick and sorry. And you know what that means? That's a call for you to get a hold of God. Get a hold of God. Pray over that bus route. Cry out to God. Maybe prayer and fasting. That's what Hiles did when he got the power of God. He was thirsty. He was a kid preacher, and he wasn't seeing anybody come down the aisle. Nobody getting baptized. It was dry. It was dusty down there in Texas in that church. And he went out into the pine thickets of East Texas, and he prayed for the power of God. He got a hold of books and read about men like Savonarola and John Wesley and Christmas Evans and other great men of God. And he would say to God, Lord, you did it for these men. Do it for me. You did it in the past. Do it for me. And he would fast and he would pray. He was thirsty for the power of God. And I went there with him. I went to the place where the power of God first fell upon him and filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he saw a difference in his life. You know, that's not just for Jack Hiles. That's just not for the apostles. That's for you. He said he'd pour out his spirit upon all flesh, the young, the old. He wants people that are hungry and thirsty for the power of God. And so you need to grasp God's gracious purpose, why he chose you, and you need to get thirsty for the power of God in your life. You know, Billy Sunday, we talk about him. He came into Scranton and Wilkes-Barre and turned this city upside down. Many people got saved in Scranton, really got saved, amen. And I think it was 25% of the population of the greater Scranton area, and it was about 100 and some thousand. They came down the aisle, they got saved. 10 years later, 80% of those people under his meetings were still in church, still serving God. Boy, would to God we had some more of that today. Some Billy Sunday power. And Billy Sunday, whenever he would be in the pulpit, whenever he would preach, he would have the scripture open to Isaiah 61, verse 1. How many knew that? Always Isaiah 61, verse 1. And I'm going to quote to you what he read every time he preached. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings. He experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, telling him what to say, using him, and creating a hunger and a thirst in people's lives to get saved, to get rid of their dead religion that would take them to hell, that would not take them to heaven, and wake them up that they needed to be born again and to get saved. Boy, we need more people to come in our church and get under conviction and get saved. I like what the king of Israel said when Naaman came to him to get healed, and he had leprosy. It was incurable. And the king of Israel ripped his clothes. He said, hey, am I God that I can heal a man of his leprosy? And when Rachel got mad at Jacob, she complained to him, I gotta have children. Give me children, Jacob, or I die. That sounded like she hungered for children. And she did die. She had two children, and she died on her second one. Benomi, she named him, son of my sorrow. She died. Would to God we'd be hungry and just say, might as well kill me, God. If you can't revive me, just kill me. You ever been there? You ever been there? You can't revive me, kill me. What am I doing here? What's the use of it? I'm wasting time. I'm breathing in God's air for no good purpose. I'm taking up space. But see, a lot of Christians, they think you're here to just be entertained, for recreation, to have a lot of fun. That's not God's gracious purpose. His purpose is to flow through you with rivers of living water, and to get people saved, and to fill this place, and to fill this city with our doctrine. That's God's purpose. And it's too bad that we're not grasping God's purpose. It's too bad that we're not thirsty for that. We're thirsty for other things, sadly. But tonight we need to get right with God and get our thirst back and be like these great people, you know. You're not going to be hungry and you're not going to be thirsty if you do like me. Diane Payone, she kills me with kindness. She gets me my favorite food, which are salty peanuts. And I got so many dying. I don't need any more. I got so many. But what I do with those peanuts, you see, I fast, and then when I eat, I like to eat, but I see those peanuts and they say, come on over here. Come on over. You got to get me. I get those peanuts. I open that thing up. And I put it down. I say, okay, I'm not going to eat anymore. That's it. I keep looking at it. Oh, boy. I say, I've been fasting, man. This is my time to eat. But then all I eat are peanuts. I get there to lunchtime. I don't want lunch. I get there to supper. I don't want supper. My wife says, I'm going to make you some salmon. I don't want it. I've had peanuts. I'm full of peanuts. They're wadded up in my guts. But I'm just saying that's what happens to Christians. You go out of church like this and you want to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You want God to flow through you. You want God to bless you. And you're hungry for it. And then you get out there and you see the peanuts on your computer. You see the peanuts out there in the world. And you're eating peanuts. And you're not going to get the good stuff. And I'm just saying, God wants you hungry and God wants you thirsty for revival blessings. Fast from the peanuts of this world to get what God has. I'm saying, how can you get revival blessings from God? Grasp God's gracious purpose in your life. Get a hold of what He saved you for and get thirsty for revival blessings. And then number three, you need to do this, and I'd like you to read verse 4 and 5, Isaiah 44, expository message. Verse 4 and 5, it says, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of the God of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Boy, what a promise that is, huh? Now, before I get into the juice of this, I think of a girl by the name of Kelly. Used to be here in church. She sang beautifully. She was in our Christian school. Kelly, what's her last name? Kelly Warren. DeWarren. Kelly DeWarren. Kelly DeWarren. And a nice lady. I like Kelly DeWarren. And Kelly, one time she heard our granddaughter, who's coming tonight, should be in around 10, right? Something like that. Our youngest granddaughter from my youngest daughter, not our totally youngest granddaughter, but from her family, is Willow. Her name is Willow. And Willow, when she was born, the doctor, they checked her up and they said she has scoliosis. I think that was what she had, scoliosis. And they said this could be a real problem. You know, your spine is bent and everything like that. And Kelly heard about it, and Kelly just liked to pray for us. And she prayed, and she was reading in Isaiah 44, verses 4 and 5. Now, here's what she sent me, and I never forgot it. She sent me a note, and here's what it says, and they shall spring up among the grass as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of the God of Jacob. And Kelly said, you know what, I was praying for your granddaughter, and that scoliosis is going to be healed. And she's going to be like a willow. She'll just spring right up. And not only that, but she's going to be godly. She's going to be saved and know the Lord and love the Lord. And she got that from verse 5, 4 and 5. And she was sharing that. And it just encouraged my wife and I. And sure enough, boom, that scoliosis was gone. And God's been working in each one of their lives as far as salvation. I see that with Willow. It's just God's hand, his working. You see, we need to grasp God's promises and pray for our children and grandchildren to get a hold of the God of Israel and our God and to know our God. My daughter had one daughter named Willow, the other's named Mabel, and she's named after my grandma who led me to the Lord. And thank God for a grandparent. They can have an effect on a grandchild. And I'm just saying that God can pour out upon dry ground water and save your loved ones and your family. And he can bring back backsliders. You know, I look at a lot of your people you led to the Lord. I say, where are they? They're backslidden. They're out here. They're out there. And I started praying for some of his converts. And you know what? There came James Jefferson here. And I know that was an answer to prayer. I remember praying, God, help me to break out of barrenness. And Gabby trusted the Lord. And Tom Granahan, they were coming to church. They got baptized. They come to church. And I didn't see Gabby. I followed her. And she came out a few Sundays back. And she was out again this morning. And I said, you know what? We need to get things from God. We need to get not just the mercy drops, but we need to get backsliders that will get right with God and come out to church and say, man, I love the Lord. He's my God. I can't live without him. We need that kind of revival, friends. You need that kind of revival and that kind of blessing in your life. And so I want you to grasp God's promise for that. I was thinking of a Wilda led Joe Pila to the Lord, who worked with her, Roman Catholic. And Joe came out to church. He got baptized. He joined the church. How many remember Joe? And this guy visited him, and I had never seen him since. And went to his house and had a night with him and had a good time with him, you know, looking at a 3D printer and all that stuff and having fun. But I'd never seen Joe after that in church. But Wilda said his dad was life-flighted to Bethlehem. Pray for Joe Pila's dad. But I'm not just praying for Joe Pila's dad. I'm praying for Joe Pila that he would get revived, that he would get going for God. And that's what we need. We need to see folks that are backslidden, that really are in love with God. They're in love with his word. They're in love with his people. They're addicted to the ministry. They're in love with God's work. They want it. They want to be here. Some people can't wait for summer. Just get me out of here. Well, I wouldn't want to live like that, so I'm just looking forward to vacation. That's all I'm living for. Now, vacation is all right if that's what you're living for. There's some people, they're just living to retire. I'm living to refire. I don't want to just go through this life and go down to Florida and push some shuffleboard with people with varicose veins. I don't want to do that. I want to live for God. Benji knows I'm out there hitting it, aren't I, Benji? He sees me. And I'm just saying that's what I want to do. But how about you? Are you grasping what God promises in his word? Are you holding God to do what he says here in verse 4 and 5? Let me give it to you again. It says, verse 4, and they, those that you can lead to the Lord, they shall spring up. They shall spring up as among the grass. New converts, and as willows by the water courses. That means they got revival going on here. A lot of grace, a lot of God. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the God of Israel. Isn't it great when you have a convert, not just to yourself, but to your God, and people get things from your God? That's what we're talking about, how you can get things from God. Revival blessings. Number one, grasp God's gracious purpose. Number two, get thirsty for it. Number three, grasp God's promises for it. And lastly, one more thing, get rid of fear. Go to verse 8 of 44. It says there, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it, ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there's no God. I know not any. You know what you are if you're saved? You're chosen to be an eyewitness. You go to court, you don't have somebody that's got hearsay evidence. I can't go to court and say, I heard somebody said to Jose Valley, and the judge will say, get off the stand. You can't testify. That's hearsay evidence. I want to hear what you heard. I want to know what you've seen personally. That's the proper evidence. And God said that ye are my witnesses. And that reminds me of what Jesus said. He said, you shall receive power and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. In other words, God chose us to know him and to tell others what we know. I used to work down there, Giant Market Warehouse. I unloaded boxcars. I worked with some strong, tough men. And you know what I would do? I would just share with them about the things God did. I remember one time my wife came in and brought my lunch. She was in her 20s and these guys were whistling. These guys were animals, you know. But I was witnessing to these guys. And I was telling them what God did. And they were getting into it. They were listening to what I had to say. God wants you to hunger and thirst for being his witness. And he's chose you to be his witness. Now, I keep saying we want 150 out on a Sunday morning. But you know what? I shouldn't be stressing that as much. You know, if we want to get 150 out, John R. Rice said we have to have 30 soul winners go out a week on Thursday night and Saturday. If you add them up, we have about 15, 16, 17 coming out every week. We need to go to 20, 25, and 30 out. You say, how can we do that? How about you come out? How about you come out on a Thursday night at 6 o'clock till 7? How about you come out on a Saturday at 11:15 till about whenever? Thank you. Whatever, whenever. That's how we do it. It's called all church soul winning. All church soul winning. What does that mean? That means you need revival. That means we need to get right with God. You say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying if you're not soul winning, you're not right with God. Am I making myself clear? I like the way Trump, he makes himself clear. They better not have a bomb. Or we're going to bomb Iran. Bomb. They're not going to get a bomb. Bomb them under the sand. Bomb Iran. He makes himself clear. Well, I want to make myself clear. You're not. And I'm not just talking about going through the motions of soul winning. I'm talking about you're living to be a soul winner. You're living to be a witness. You're preparing yourself. You know, when they went fishing, what were they doing? Mending their nets. You know what? You should be mending your life to go out fishing again. Keep mending yourself to go out fishing again. And God said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you, John 15:16, and ordained you that ye should what? Go! Now, John 15 isn't just abide, it's go and bring forth fruit. That's how you abide in Christ. You go like he went. You give the gospel like he gave the gospel. And he said that you will bring forth fruit. What's the fruit? Not the love, joy, peace. That's the fruit that helps the fruit. The fruit are new people saved through you that know God through you because God chose you to be the witness. But if you don't know much about what's going on with Jesus and you're not going out, then you're not right with God. I'm not right with God if that's the case. I'm saying we need to have the revival blessings of God. Now, we don't have to get all shook up and say, you know, I gotta have fruit. I gotta have fruit. I gotta have fruit. Oh, just walk with God. Be ready to witness for Christ. Go out on Thursday or on Saturday or both, and then through the week, be ready to witness. Paul said, I'm ready. I'm not ashamed. I'm a debtor. You just be stirred up to do it, and God will give you these opportunities and take those opportunities and do it, you see. And, you know, some people are hyper-Calvinist. They're hyper-Calvinist. They know God chose us, and we're going to heaven, and it's all good, but they're not doing anything for God. They're not witnessing. They're just saying God's got to do it all. That's a hyper-Calvinist. But I heard a guy say to me one time, you're a hyper-Arminian. You know what a hyper-Arminian is? I got to have 150. What am I going to do to get 150? What am I going to do? Why don't you just get revived yourself? Why don't you just provoke others to jealousy? Because if you got it, people are going to see it. Why don't we get just a few of us that determine, I'm going to break out of barrenness. I'm going to get it myself. I don't have to put it on anybody. I'm going to get it. It'll make a difference. I've had Christians that have done that in my life. I got around them, and Charlie Ware was one of them. Man, he had it. And I said, I got to get it. Tom Williams, he had it, and I said, I got to get it. Jack Hiles had it, and I said, I got to get it. But we have too few today that are stirring people up to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Too few preachers today that are stirring it up to have people hunger and thirst after righteousness. But it's available. It's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll welcome you. It's no secret. But you need to get revival blessings in your life. Number one, by grasping God's gracious purpose for you. Number two, by getting thirsty and hungry for what God wants to do. Number three, by grasping God's promises of what he will do for you. And determining, I'm going to break out of barrenness through his promises. And number four, last, get rid of fear. Don't be afraid. If you just do those things, God will use you. He wants to use you more than you want to be used. And he'll bless you. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And tonight,